It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here listening to us. Today, we have an even more special than normal guest on the podcast, if that was possible. Pascal is usually listening to us rather than being on here. And a couple of weeks ago, he contacted me on Twitter to see if I'd like to interview him. So if you think you and your business would make a good episode, please do get in contact. You'll find all our contact details at ecommercemasterplan.com/contact. And a little tip for you, the two best routes to get hold of me are email or Twitter. I'm a little bit addicted to Twitter. And then after you've got in contact, I'll get back to you with how we can go about making it happen. Anyway, back to Pascal. Pascal Culverhouse launched at The Electric Tobacconist in 2013. Now, well into the second full year, Pascal and his team are on track for a seven-figure turnover in year two. The Electric Tobacconist is an online-only e-commerce business and the UK's number one e-tobacconist, selling a wide range of e-cigarettes and supplies. They are all about fast growth, in the first 6 months taking 800 orders and 10xing that for the second 6 months to take it to 8,000 orders in just 6 months. Hi Pascal, I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and where you are right now. So how did you get started in e-commerce?
Hi Chloe, first of all, thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you here.
I was until 2.5 years ago, well actually technically until about a year ago just over, I was working in the family business. My father owns a company called Fantastic Fireworks, which I started working for in 2009 after wanting to escape the London rat race. I had a sales job in London that required a lot of phone calls and a lot of congestion in London, so I decided I wanted to get out and work for the family business, knowing it would probably give me a route into what I wanted to eventually do, which was to run my own business. So my father gave me an area of his business to run, which was his retail side, and I soon really took enjoyment in playing around with his website. At the time, this is 2009-2010, his Fantastic Fireworks Online was turning over about £15,000, which for an industry leader was a pretty terrible figure. So I couldn't really do much wrong. All I had to do was show an interest. And that I did. I read a lot of books on selling online. And I went on a couple of courses, one of which was a course on Google Analytics, which really set me on my way. I just found it so interesting. The concept of numbers and conversions and what everything meant. And the other course I went on was one of yours, Chloe, which was how we met.
Oh, gosh, yes, it was. That was a while back. I remember those.
Three years ago, and I was working in a completely different industry. And you may have seen me at the front scribbling down hundreds and hundreds of notes and just coming away. I remember it pretty much, I don't know, when it comes to e-commerce and anything to do with it, I have an almost sponge-like memory, so I can remember the course very well. And what I learned more about your course, as opposed to the other sort of books I read on e-commerce, was more about the retailing side of e-commerce. It's all very well having a website, but is your website a shop? You need to think of it sort of more in an offline way, like a Selfridges, for example. Selfridges offline. There's always a reason to pop into that shop. There's always something going on. There's always a promotion. There's always a sale on. There's always a reason for what they're doing. And what your course in particular taught me was that for every day of the week, there's something going on in the world that you can jump on and offer people some sort of reason to visit your site. So you're almost treating it as an offline shop, an actual shop as opposed to a website.
Yeah, because it's very easy with an online shop. You're sat in your office, you're never face to face with the customer. You kind of forget that they're people you need to be talking to, and you can attract in, you can get kind of stuck in this, well, it's there, why isn't anyone buying for it? So it's a really, really good point to bring up.
It's very, very easily done having a website. I'm still guilty of it. We go a couple of days where the website hasn't really changed and we think, well, that's not good enough, really. And too many people leave their websites and think that just by uploading products, people are going to keep coming back why would they? If nothing's changed, there's nothing to go back for.
Yeah, the homepage is a great opportunity to make things, to attract people in and to give them another reason to come in. And I think it's very easy to forget how many different angles an e-commerce business, even one like yours, which has only got essentially one product, there's still many different angles. There's different flavors, different brands, different looks. I'm not an expert in e-cigarettes, but there's so many different ways in, and you have to keep putting those in front of people.
I think we've got 3,000 products actually, Chloe, but I know what you mean. Yeah. It's an e-cigarette, but there are many different versions of it. There's many deals you can do on the different brands. There's many different inspirational ideas you can give people on your homepage according to, say, the season, or one we're working on at the moment is festival season. So we'll be creating a festival pack, offering a discount on it with a code, creating a nice splash across the front. And then, of course, next to it will be our deal of the day. And so this is all stuff going back to my sort of introduction to how I got into all of this. This is stuff I learned on your course, that there is a difference between retailing and having a website. But then going back to where I was with fireworks, I then started picking up lots of books on search engine optimization. And it's a very geeky term, and it's very intimidating. Even the name is intimidating. And I meet so many people who are afraid of it. And actually, I picked up this really easy book called 50 Ways to Make Google Love Your Website. And it would be out of date now if you were to read it now, unless I don't think there's a new version of it. But I read it, and it really broke everything down. It was all about an analogy of a guy called Bob's pet fish. And Bob wanted to make his website at the top of Google. And it was all explained in the way that Bob wanted to get a website selling fish to the top of Google. And it was very, very user-friendly and very unintimidating. And it broke SEO down in a way that made me think, well, this is actually, A, very interesting, and B, I think I can probably do it. So I went away, and as I said, I had nothing to lose with the Fantastic Fireworks website because it wasn't really turning over any money. And before I knew it, I'd managed to get it up to the top of the searches for some quite big search terms. I mean, big search terms in fireworks are not big, big, so we're not talking massive numbers here. I didn't change the world, but it did give me confidence that I could do SEO on my own almost. So I started doing that. And the other thing about fireworks, by the way, is that you can't advertise on Google AdWords. So the SEO was king. A lot of people cut corners with Google Ads, but like e-cigarettes, you can't use those with fireworks. So managed to get Fantastic Fireworks sort of turning over upwards of £50,000-£60,000 in a year in the space of a couple of years. And interestingly, last year it went through the six-figure barrier, even though I was no longer there. So I feel like I'd set things up. And turnover on those websites have really gone past the tenfold mark.
Pascal, can I take you back a bit, a second? So you were saying about how you learned how to do SEO, and it was a straightforward method that worked for you. What were the nuts and bolts of that? Because I think what you're saying about SEO makes perfect sense, in that at its core, SEO is very simple, but no one talks about it being so simple because it seems too simple. Everyone talks about the ninja clever stuff you can do. So when you were doing your own SEO, what was that consisting of practically?
Oh, this is still in the days when link building was nowhere near as ineffective as it is now. So it was kind of twofold, really. I managed to just go through everyone else's links that they had to their website, all our competitors, anyone related with fireworks, and either ask for links on trade websites, because our company was quite well known, so people were sometimes happy to link to it. And I was very, very thorough. I made sure every page had its correct title, every image had the name of the product in the name, and the alt tags were all correctly configured. Sorry, even speaking like that can intimidate. I made sure every image I put on the website had a correct name attached to it, not just a number. So Google can't read your images. It wants to know what you're actually showing it. Every title is correct. Every meta description was written in a unique form. And it, often with SEO, it's just to do with being thorough, actually being bothered to write, to tell Google what every single page is about. So when Google reads it, it thinks, yeah, I understand what this page is. Right, well, I can rank that for that because you're selling a big rocket and I know this is about a big rocket, for example, with fireworks.
Awesome. Thank you. So it was all about the tags and the links.
Tags, links, and then unique, fresh content, constantly blogging, writing new content. Google, all Google wants is information.
Yeah.
It wants information. It wants to, organize that information. That's all it wants.
Cool. So everyone who's listening, obviously Pascal was doing this about 5 years ago. Link building, do not just have a go. You need to read up on that one before you dive into it because it's a world of potential unexpected pain if you go down the wrong route. So don't go off and do that bit as straight after listening to this. But getting your tags right on the website, definitely go and do that because that's still hugely powerful and hugely useful exercise to do. And unique content, I don't think will ever go out of vogue. So please take that message away as well. So Pascal, you've taken us through quite a nice overview of how you got into e-commerce. So how did you come up with the idea for your current business?
Right. We had a visit one day from one of our suppliers, one of our fireworks suppliers, who incidentally was the son of the person who first sold my father a firework, who essentially set my father up in business. This is a strange twist of fate 25 years on. And Nigel, the guy, the son, came to us about a meeting. And in the meeting, he just said that he was thinking about bringing in some e-cigarettes because a lot of his fireworks, or all his fireworks, come from China. So he had contacts over there and he'd heard that e-cigarettes were going to be the next big thing. This was in, when was this, 2000? And I've completely lost my years, Chloe.
I have the same problem.
Yeah. But they weren't quite where they are now, let's just say. And he was planning to sell them online as well as in the shops. And he was sort of quite upbeat about the idea. And I'd already heard about these things, these electronic cigarettes, but I didn't know a lot. So anyway, at the end of the meeting, I went downstairs back into my office and I thought about this. I thought, well, Nigel actually doesn't know anything about selling online. He's connected with all the shops. So I wonder if I could buy some of these things off him and pretty much run the online side of his business, or just buy some e-cigarettes off him and sell them on my own website, but kind of do it better than he would, because that's not his strength. And trust me, Nigel is a very good businessman, but the online side of his knowledge probably isn't as good as mine.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't want to say that. And I looked at Google Trends, which is a great tool for just looking at new ideas. And it showed a graph that was horizontal. And then right at the end, in the last sort of 6 months, it just showed a vertical line just pointing at the sky. And this graph was just phenomenal. It just said these things have come from nowhere to phenomenal amount of popularity in the space of 6 months. And so I then used the Google keyword tool just to have a look at how many people were looking up e-cigarettes in the UK, and it was approaching 500,000, which is a massive amount of people. And you know, if that's growing, that the sky's the limit, really. So I got a post-it note and I wrote down the numbers and I wrote down how many people I thought I could get onto our site, how many of those I could convert, and what I felt I could turn over in a year based on a very rough conversion rate. And it was all on a post-it note, and at the bottom line it said £100,000. And I took it up to see my dad and I said, you know that conversation with Nigel just now? Why don't I build a new website based using the same back end as our fireworks website? Just build an overlay, because we'd already been told this was possible with our web developers. So it would cost half the amount the website cost, if that. Build an overlay. And these are the numbers I think we're looking at. And all I'd need is to buy some stock, which would cost me about £4,000 or £5,000. What do you say? And he said, let's do it.
So it was a post-it note business plan.
Literally a post-it note business plan. I have it laminated. I'm very proud of it. It's completely inaccurate. but it was kind of the right idea. And it was based on some quite sound information given to me that's all available online for free. I still have the post-it note. Very pleased with it.
Oh, cool. That's a definitely a story of being in the right place at the right time, but also having spent many years learning the right skill set and building the right connections to be able to be in the conversation, hear it and go for it.
Go for it. At that time, I remember the weekend before, my friend still ribs me that we'd sat down trying to research online businesses to run ourselves. And we looked at things like ancient photography, selling, you know, like those old street views of your old town. And we were looking up search numbers for those, thinking, is that a viable business? So he always ribs me that he should technically own half of my company. Him and I were toying with ideas just the weekend before. So I was ripe, if you like.
Yeah, it
was an opportunity knocked.
It was a nice meeting of the fates, or, you know, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it. So let's just quickly get everyone up to speed with where you're at the moment. So you're based in the centrally in the UK, aren't you? And which countries are you selling to?
So we sell all around Europe, the UK side of the business. And we've also just launched in the US. So we have an office in Manhattan. And that is equipped to sell around the US. And then we're just trying to research whether we're concentrating on the US. We're not allowing any other countries at the moment. But there will be some that we'll open that up to eventually when we've really got that up to speed.
So the decision to focus on the US is that based on there are only so many hours in the day and we need to get that one big before we go anywhere else?
Well, we need to work on the logistics of getting stuff from A to B. I mean, our website really has grown in popularity almost virally through getting stuff from the customer from us to the customer as quickly as we can. That's what they're after. These are people who are, I hate to say it, but a lot of them are addicted to nicotine. They need this stuff really, really quickly. And a lot of them just want it really quickly. The way it's going, they're excited about new flavors and they want to try them. And the quicker you can get it to them, the better. So in America, we don't want to start. There are also laws with certain countries that we need to get our heads around because they're not quite clear. They can be you're allowed to import it, but you're not allowed to buy it online in another country. And there's no point spending time on that while we've really got to get the American website up to speed and deal with the American punters, which is what we're there for. So, yeah, we're just leaving that one to America. And in the UK, primarily sells to the UK, but we do get a lot of European interest. Maybe only 5 to 10% of our orders go out to Europe there.
Cool. I'm going to resist the urge to get heavily into the technicality of selling a restricted product in different places because it fascinates me. But I think we should probably talk more about the more generalist side of the marketing.
Yeah.
So what's the platform you're on at the moment?
We use a platform called VisualSoft. That was another meeting of fate. I was on holiday and I'd already planned to research the different platforms to sell on for the fireworks business. And we met a couple who seemed to be dressed very well and doing rather well for themselves, tanned, you know, that type. And chatting at dinner, and I asked them what they did for a living. And they said they were a husband and wife team who ran an online shoe store. And I thought, okay. They look quite successful to me. I'm going to really get in with them. But they happen to be a very, very nice couple as well. So we got, and our kids were the same age, so we got really friendly with them. And he got his iPad out one lunchtime and showed me the website, and I was just mesmerized by how good it was. Not just the front end, but he showed me kind of why it worked. And VisualSoft is an e-commerce platform only, so it's not just a sort of, you know, like on WordPress, you can build a WordPress site to showcase I don't know your artwork, but you might also build a WordPress website to sell things. Well, VisualSoft is just an online cart. It's an agency and a web developer that just works with e-commerce companies trying to make sure that anyone comes on the website is as likely to convert as possible. So I thought, well, they look good, so I got in touch. It wasn't cheap, but it was worth the money, so that's who we use.
Cool. And we're talking, just because cheap means a world of things for different people, we're talking a five-figure build, not a six-figure or a four-figure build.
We're talking a five-figure build, but then you can keep throwing money at it. So we've probably spent for the first year of Electric Tobacconist's existence, I think I ploughed every single penny of profit back into the website. So I think we've probably spent 40 or 50 grand on it now.
And that ploughing that money back in, that was adding more functionality and more, it wasn't just more graphics and making it prettier, it was about improving it and adding stuff.
Functionality, and also in February this year, we relaunched the whole platform, having watched what people were doing. And also approaching 2 years on any website, I think really you need a lick of paint at the very least. because of the way these things move on. We watched what people wanted, how they bought, and how we could make it easier for them. With e-cigarettes, there's a lot of education involved. People don't really know what they're doing. So in you can suggest things and tell them that they are compatible and things like that. So we rebuilt the whole thing in February, and that didn't come cheap either. But it was all worth it, because we have a very big aim in mind. So the money spent now, I'm not that interested in driving a fast car right now, Chloe, and I probably never will be, but you know what I mean. I'm more interested in the bigger goal later, further down the line, than profit made now.
Yeah, and it's when you're entering a new marketplace where the customers need educating, and where customer service is so important, where, you know, you've got 3,000 SKUs, but essentially it's just one product. And as you said earlier, you've got to treat it like a retail shop. You've got to give them a reason to come back. Then it should be the number one thing you're investing in to get it right, to it be improving it, and to take, you know, to bite the bullet and to rebuild it at a fairly frequent rate. So what have you got any? Yeah. Have you got any key widgets or plugins that you're using at the moment?
Yes. So we use reviews.co.uk. I'm a big advocate of customer service. One of your other guests mentioned his favourite book in e-commerce was Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh of Zappos.com. Have you read that one, Chloe?
It's on my list, but I have, for my sins, I have not yet read it.
It needs to be at the top of your list, Chloe. But okay. It's all about how they built, those guys could have built anything online and sold it, but with their customer service, they just became so well known. So I've really taken a massive leaf out of that book. And we put customer service first. We don't believe in wanting customers to contact us, really. If they do, if they call, it means there's a problem with the website, really. The website shouldn't be encouraging people to call you, because it means there's information missing. But if they do and there's a problem, we aim to fix it so quickly that they will be a customer for life. So we've got, I think we only started assembling reviews at the end of last year, because you've got to get your service right before you sign up with Trustpilot or what's the other one, FIFO or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Reviews. Yeah. You've got to right before you sign up, because there's no hiding. If someone wants to give you a one-star review on these sites, it's a genuine one-star review and there's nothing you can do about it. So we've had 9 one-star reviews out of approaching 1500 or something, maybe 1200 now, and those 9 have really upset me. We had a whole company meeting after one of them once. Yeah, I felt that something was broken. I think we had 2 in a row in the space of 10 days. And so I got everyone round and said that we needed to look at our processes, because this isn't good enough. And so, yeah, that's a big widget that really, in a way, it's just telling you whether you're operating correctly, those types of things. You shouldn't be afraid of them. You need to get your systems right and then sign up with them and go for it. And then there's a lot of one percenters on the site, you know, stuff, the little one percenters that make the difference. So I could reel them off, but each one of them on their own wouldn't make much difference. In the checkout, if you click a certain button, you get £1 off, but it means you like us on Facebook. We've got really good rollovers on our e-liquids. You get funny e-liquids that are strange names, like Bowden's Mate by Five Pawns. If you hover your mouse over that, it will bring up the flavour profile, sort of break it down. It'll say chocolate and mint. So the reader doesn't have to click in and then read all about it. And there's just loads of little things like that on the website that I'm constantly thinking about, going on other websites, getting inspiration from. I do a lot of shopping online in order to do that, really.
Yeah, I think just to make it clear for the listeners, what we're meaning by a one percenter is something you improve on the website that improves sales by 1%. So on its own, it's not making a great lot of difference, but it's once you've put it in place once, it's slowly going to be building and building and building the performance. So now I like that as a philosophy. Look for those one percenters, put them in and find those mini widgets and plugins that you can be using. So you mentioned when we were talking about customer reviews, you brought the whole team together. So what is, are you mainly an in-house team, and how many of you are there?
We are. So we've got 6 employees in the UK. And 1 in the US. And then there's a lot of outsourcing as well. So we outsource SEO, But I do I kind of do the on-site SEO, and the off-site stuff is done by an agency who also run our email marketing and our affiliate marketing. So I suppose it's in a way, there's lots of people working for us, but only six in-house, if you like.
Yeah. So you've outsourced the difficult part of SEO to people who are all over it, and those totally different skill sets of email and affiliates as well, which makes perfect sense.
But in a way, I'd like to eventually, I think they should all be brought in-house, but you really need to, I think outsourcing is a very good idea, up to probably eight-figure turnover, while you watch what they do, learn from them, and then bring it in-house. But if you don't understand it, there's certain aspects of SEO that I do struggle to get my head around, things like Google Webmaster Tools. There's little bits in there that I just, they're very, very sort of almost mathematic. And those types of things, it's useful to have an agency to go to every now and then and say, what the hell does this mean?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So we've gone through your journey into e-commerce. We talked about the establishment of the business and, you know, where you're at the moment. What do you think is the most awesome thing about the business right now?
Cheesy, but I think it's the staff.
That's not cheesy at all.
We've got a really, really good team who are all really, I'm really pleased to say that they're really keyed into what we want to achieve. I want to be the biggest online retailer of e-cigarettes in the world. And I drum this into them, and I really get the feeling that they're on board with it. And everything we do is, every time I say to them, even in the warehouse, if we're going to be the biggest online retailer of e-cigarettes in the world, is that good enough? Is this good enough? Are we? And generally the answer is yes. And I'm really proud that the guys, for example, I'm not at work now, and I haven't even told them I'm not going into work yet. And I can guarantee you they'll all know exactly what they're doing, not because I've told them, but because they really want to achieve. And we've got an opportunity, and we're doing well, and they're all really keyed into what they're doing. And the other side of that is I found them all on the free job site. I see this is a nice little tip. The Indeed.co.uk. Do you know it?
I love Indeed.co.uk.
Well, it saved me thousands of pounds in recruitment fees. So we even found our accountant on there.
Really?
Yeah. He sent me an email. He had never worked in – he'd never run company accounts, but he'd been teaching accountancy at a college for 20 years. So he knew how to do it, but he'd never actually been given a chance. And it takes a company like us, sort of the young, nimble company, willing to give someone a chance that doesn't require 10 years minimum experience. I spoke to him and thought, this guy sounds very intelligent. I looked him up online and found that I played cricket against him when I was 18. and he scored 45 not out against me opening the bowling. When he opened the batting, I thought, yeah, that'll do. He's got a bit about him if he can smash a young floppy-haired teenager around a cricket field.
I just, on the cricket front, I need to apologise to our Australian listeners for mentioning cricket at this time of year in 2015. Terribly sensitive. And I also need to apologise to the Americans listening who will not have a clue what we're talking about. Don't worry, it's a bit like baseball.
He smashed me for lots of home runs. And our accountant.
Awesome. I think that's a brilliant example of something to be awesome in the business right now. And actually listening, if anyone here has been listening to all the podcasts, often the most awesome thing someone's talking about is how much fun they have or how great the team is or the atmosphere in the business. I think it's a really important soft side of business that it's criminal to neglect. So Pascal, what's on your radar right now?
So we really need to get the US properly up and running. It's very, very new. We feel like we've got a game plan that has worked in the UK, which I won't go into, but really what we think is the ingredients of what's made us successful in the UK. We just need to replicate that in the US and then get the two countries properly up and running. We are also moving over to a whole new stock system. Another little tip for anyone listening. Because we've grown so quickly, we haven't really organized our warehouse properly. So the guys have been historically picking according to what was ordered. Just it was that product in that nicotine level. I'll go and get it from the drawer. But we went from having three drawers to something like 400 or something in the space of 18 months. And as such, we've only just caught up with actually labeling the drawers according to a number and being able to find where everything is. So until a month ago, people were still picking according to what was ordered. And then, you've got much more chance of errors. So always think big when you're starting out and you're organizing, however you organize the product you're selling, think about how big you're going to get or how big you want to get. And therefore, is your warehouse properly organized? Because organizing it organically, surely, if I could do one thing differently, it would be go back and reorganize all of that. Because it was a serious headache having to label every single drawer with a number and a letter at this late stage.
And given the product you sell is pretty small physically,
yeah,
it's quite easy for you to reorganise your warehouse compared to, one of the recent interviews that's out there at the moment is with the guys from Home Leisure Direct who sell pool tables. Now, if you've got to reorganise a warehouse full of pool tables, that's a lot more difficult than a warehouse full of e6.
We actually switched our warehouse because we don't need a warehouse. We need a large room. And we switched it so that we could pick in one room and pack in the other. And I was dreading doing it. And we switched it and it took us, I think, an hour and a half. We all just stopped what we were doing. Everybody jumped on it and we moved the whole thing. Because as you say, they're so small that you can actually just lift everything up and just move it. So yeah. It's good.
Cool. And it keeps things moving fast because then in an hour and a half, you've got it resorted. All the orders still get to go out and you haven't had to do, put one of those messages on the site that says we're not delivering anything for 2 days because we're stock taking or something, which is it's the sort of thing which in a marketplace that's as brand new and competitive as yours is, that could lose you customers for life.
That message should never, ever, ever go up on a website. Although I'm sure there will come a time when we have to do a whole stock take and maybe I'll eat my words. But whenever I see those messages, I just scratch my head and think, surely there was a way around that. Surely. I'd rather take through the night and have no sleep than put a sign up like that. That's very 1995.
Yeah, last year, someone I was doing a bit of work with, they came back. We had our monthly meeting and I said to them, so how were sales last week? Oh, they weren't so good because we were on holiday. So, well, why did that make any difference? Oh, we turned the website off.
I'm shaking my head.
Yeah. I was like, please don't ever do that again. Ever.
I went on a competitor's website last week and it said, we take orders 24/7. And I just thought, why are you writing that? That shows a complete lack of understanding that you think that even needs saying on a website.
But I think sometimes that depends on the target customer, because sometimes the customer just needs those small pieces of reassurance. So I think sometimes that could be necessary.
Well, we joked in the office that perhaps it had recently been changed from they thought they had to stop taking orders at 5 p.m. So then when they realized the website was still on overnight, they just changed that text. that was what we came to the conclusion of.
We're at risk now of becoming Britishly cynical. So I'm going to move us swiftly into the top tips round before we get too British and cynical. So everyone listening, it's now time for the top tips round. I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. All that's in the top tips are going to be included on today's episode show notes, which are going to be at ecommercemasterplan.com/electric, together with all those great little tips and widgets that Pascal's already been telling us about. So Pascal, are you ready for the quick fire top tips?
This is my favourite bit, Chloe.
Oh, it's so cool having a listener on. Right, we're going to go through these quite quickly because we're already quite a long way into the recording. Although it's a really good episode, but if we can try and do these ones nice and swiftly, that'd be great. So first up, Pascal, your book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, what book would you recommend?
Okay, well, it was going to be Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, but someone's already taken that. But if you haven't read that, you have to read it. Mine is One Click, Jeff Bezos and the Rise of Amazon.com by Richard L. Brandt. Totally inspired by anything to do with Amazon. I'm an absolute Jeff Bezos fanatic, not because I'm strange, but because he's clearly extremely successful. And if you can't gain inspiration from reading and learning about how Amazon did it, then you'll never get into e-commerce.
I've been waiting for someone to recommend one of the Jeff Bezos books. So
there's five books that have been written by Amazon. I have them all. one of which I got from Amazon on the marketplace, and it had a library stamp on it, which made me think that I think I'm one of the few people in the world. It was written in about 1999 or something. I love them.
Cool. So traffic top tip then, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
The long tail. We cannot rely on advertising. We're not allowed to advertise anywhere. We can't use Google Ads. We can't use you can use display ads, but a lot of them turn us away. And we can't, when we've tried them, we can't get on the proper websites that will allow these ads. So traffic tip, social doesn't quite do it yet. It's the long tail. We show up in nearly, I think it's nearly 750,000 searches a month. That's not we get clicked on, but we're in the game. We're in the game. Our website is huge. So we've got so many products, and I get up very early every day, 6 a.m., and I write copy every day, and I add pages. Not bump, not rubbish. I write about the new products we've got coming on. I write unique content. I write troubleshooting. I blog. I improve the product information. And as such, and I write it for the customer, knowing that Google's going to pick it up. And so we show up in a lot of searches, a hell of a lot of searches, and as a result, we get clicks off the back of it. So my tip is The Long Tail. And there's a book by Chris Anderson you can read.
Which is a very good book.
I didn't like that one, Chloe.
You do or you don't?
I didn't like it. I thought it was dull. I got the idea within a page.
I had the same problem. I read chapter two through thinking I should, and then was like, I don't need another example. I get it. Awesome yes. concept, but you don't need to read the whole book. I agree. Again. So the traffic top tip, I think that's an awesome one. So it's about writing great content. How many hours do you spend a day then? On the content?
Well, I know that as soon as I get in the office, I'm going to get inundated with all sorts of stuff. You know what it's like. I've got to arrange a new bin man because the guy who comes to collect our rubbish has decided he doesn't want to do it anymore. The office needs hoovering and I don't really want to ask anyone else to do it, so I'll do it. Things like that. I don't get caught up too much in those types of things anymore, but there's always something slightly odd, something random that will get thrown at you. So my day is 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., and that way I get to have breakfast with the kids just after that and then go to work. So that's another awesome thing about the job I do. But I spend 2 hours in the morning copywriting.
There's a great podcast series called HBR Ideas. It's from the Harvest Business Review. And I listened to one of theirs this week that was about, they were talking to a professor about the perfect day to make the most of your brain. I'll everyone listening, I will work out what the actual title of it is and give you a link to it. But they were saying that your brain is at its most thoughtful and strategic and focused at the beginning of the day. So you should avoid any kind of reactive activity at the beginning of the day, you know, so checking emails and all that kind of thing. And you should just focus on those proactive project-based things because that's the mode your brain is in when you wake up. So copywriting first thing in the morning is the best thing you could be doing with your brain at that time of day.
And it's the best time to have a cup of tea, best time to get some peace and quiet.
Exactly. So next top tip, because I said we were going to be quick through these and even I'm being slow. So the tool top tip, maybe this is a team collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a timesheeting tool, phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little widget that you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day?
Yes and no. We're not brilliant at these. We use Hootsuite, we use Dropbox, and we also use VoIP phone, so internet phones instead of BT landlines and what have you, and they cost us about £2 a month. So those are excellent. We also use Google Talk. So if I'm away, people can contact me from their desktop. That's really old technology. I mean, it's like MSN Messenger. In fact, it pretty much is MSN Messenger. But it's such a clever way for your phone to be connected to everybody so you can get quick answers to questions. So I don't think we're necessarily a strong point there, Chloe, but those are my tips.
Nope, I like those. It's good we haven't had Google Talk on yet either. So, and I personally use VoIP phones and all those kind of tools. So yeah, that's a good one. Next up then, the startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
Learn about all aspects of websites. Don't rely on other people, other specialists to tell you. I specialize in SEO, but in following on, I started learning about conversion rate optimization and analytics. None of it is that difficult. I wasn't an academic at school. I struggled really, but when I found this stuff interesting, which helps. And if you rely on a search engine optimizer to get traffic to your website, and he or she is telling you how they're going to get you traffic or how they're going to optimize your site, if you don't understand what they're talking about, then, and a little bit of reading will enable you to help, then they can do all sorts of damage to your website and also just take your money for nothing. So start with the search engines, and you'll find that once you understand that, it'll give you the confidence to understand the other aspects. And we're not talking an MBA here. This doesn't take more than 6 weeks of, you know, good reading. They say that my idol, Jeff Bezos, could talk about coding a website and then talk to somebody else within a second, just turn around and talk about a product range with someone else. He knows every facet of Amazon, how it's designed, why it's designed in that way, how it's coded, what the products are on it. So really, you've just got to read, read, and read. But really, you've got to know about those specialist areas.
Excellent advice. One final top tips question. If your business didn't exist, which e-commerce business would you like to be running?
As a reader or a listener of this show, I put this one to the office yesterday because I knew I was coming on the show, and we discussed it, and Ollie opposite me said Netflix, but I said that's not fair because that's really just a film studio these days. The other one we thought of was ASOS because it's based in Hemel like we are. But it's already established and it's already had two warehouse fires. So really, you don't want to be relying on a warehouse, do you? Because those are where, although we do, those are where you can have issues because it costs money and they can burn down. So my answer, Chloe, is Moonpig, moonpig.com.
Ah, cool. For our international listeners, moonpig.com is customized greetings cards. So personalized greeting cards. Well worth a look if you've not come across that concept before.
Probably just got a couple of printing machines, massive margins, loads of fun to run, loads of growth potential. And if I was owning it, I'd probably have lots of money. And I'm sure that could go to use.
Awesome. Pascal, what a fascinating chat. It's been a pleasure to spend time with you today to discover how you're driving your online-only e-commerce business. Before we say goodbye, would you like to remind listeners where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yes, our website in the UK is www.electrictobacconist.co.uk, or in the US it's electrictobacconist.com. You can find us on Twitter at electrictobacco, on Facebook /electrictobacconist, and I could run through all the social medias, but those are the most important ones.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, Pascal. I'll add links to all of that and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/electric, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Pascal, thank you for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast today and for being so generous sharing your experience with us.
Pleasure.
Excellent. So if you think you and your business would make a good episode, please do get in contact. You'll find all the contact details at ecommercemasterplan.com/contact. The two best routes are email or Twitter. And I'm always looking for interesting e-commerce businesses to feature from anywhere in the globe. So please do get in contact if you think you'd make a good guest. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.